I'm a smart top baby, smarter. Smart top baby, smarter. 하늘 보면 열 가지 깜빡해서 떨어지. Wanna be a winner, wanna be a winner. 계획대로 돼까지 난 나비가 될 애써 미.
This is the K-Pop Cast, and in this episode, we chat about Twice's Jihyo dating a chiseled hottie, Yoon Sung Bin from Physical 100.
Season one. He also Season won the one. Olympics. Stephanie.
Yeah.
Like the Olympics were a game, and he won. He won all of it. You know, he came out
thought,
number one.
I'm not with a body like that. He could win much more than that. we also talk about another athlete with not so good news. Major League Baseball star Shohei Ohtani embroiled in a gambling scandal. We also discuss whether we're going to watch season two of Island, and Stray Kids is headlining La 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 Palooza. Congrats. And finally, we discussed, are we in Gen 5?
Yeah. We also talk about some hit replays. We give some really good song recommendations. I learned a lot. Joe introduced me to the world of, oh my God, what?
Circuit parties. Sure.
Circuit parties. There we go.
Ow, ow.
You all tolerate my like of Young Posse.
Before we get into all of those topics, don't forget to join the K-Pop Cast listener fam on Slack. Link to the space in the episode description.
And now for our hit replays. Hey, I'm Joe.
I'm DJ Peter Lowe.
And I'm your host, Stephanie. And hit replays are our K-pop song recommendations. I am kicking us off.
Good job, Stephanie.
Yeah. Kicking it to myself. Stephanie, what's your hit replay? Well, I'm so glad you asked. My hit replay is Yang Donghua, Blackout. Can go back without you no more. I'm a drunken lover, but I'm undercover. Someone call a doctor. I keep looking for a bit of trouble in the fields. Money's so confused. Now I'm on the loose. I'm just looking for. Alright, so this song is really on trend with its sound. It's got that, and Peter, please jump in here and help me describe the sound. It's Charlie Puth, Jungkook, TXT, bass and drums.
No,
sounds like standing next to you a little bit, has Michael Jackson influence, Charlie Puth kind of sound. But yeah, if I'm not right, let me know. What is it? It has a few different parts. Maybe that's tripping me up.
I mean, I don't even know how to describe it, but it is like hyper generic. I mean, not in a bad way.
Okay, never mind. I'm taking the mic back.
No. I mean, it's got like groovy, you know, funk.
Yeah, funk inspired.
Like, yeah, but it's like, you know, pop synth. So I don't even
know.
Yeah,
synth pop. Funk inspired.
I feel like I should be able to like take this song and like run it through a large language model, and it should be able to tell me what it is. But
yeah,
I was gonna. Yeah,
yes, we're not quite there yet.
Off the wall inspired, specifically.
Yes, I agree. Thanks, guys. Thanks for your help, especially Joe, not Peter.
Wow.
But about the artiste, Yang Donghua. So I got this music video in my recommendations on YouTube. I'd never heard of the artist before. He's a male soloist who just debuted. This is his debut song, Blackout. But I knew when I saw the video, I was like, he's been around a little bit. He's got some experience. This is not no fresh baby debut. Nah. And I was right. He was supposed to debut with boy group ATBO after placing really high in the survival show. The name of this show, I don't know what they're trying to do with this, but the show is The Origin, A, B, or what? ? I just started it. Maybe it will be revealed what that name means. But anyways, Donghua, like, placed really high. He was one of the top contenders in that show, was set to debut in the group ATBO. And then, bam, He was caught up in scandal, taken down and disappeared from the industry after being accused of bullying in middle school, specifically using harmful language against fellow students. And, you know, we stand against all kinds of harm and violence and bullying here at the K-Pop Cast. And I personally, especially, try to take a nuanced perspective. And I personally have values that are more around restorative justice or even abolition, as opposed to just like throwing somebody away, especially for something that they did when they were a child. And so that kind of explained why I'm only now hearing about him, and he did not come out in the group. And I'm personally glad that he's now, you know, releasing stuff, because he's clearly so talented. And I'm looking forward to what else he puts out. He's just got two songs right now, but I hope to see some more covers from him. He on the show covered Sam Kim's Makeup, and I was like, ooh, you've been practicing. So what, just to skip ahead to the song, Blackout, what really stood out for me was his strong vocal tone and how it stands up to what could be an overpowering bass line. He has such just strength and power underneath his vocals. For someone so young and with just a few years of experience, I was impressed by that. And even though Peter's right, this is a fairly generic sound, I thought, in this case, I was
just struggling with the word choice there. I really did not mean that negatively. I was just thinking of like so many other pop songs that sound similar. So
It's all good. No offense taken. I don't usually pick this kind of song because it's usually passé. Like, oh, everybody's doing this. But I was impressed by how strong his vocals were and how well this was executed. As an example in this style. And last but not least, visuals, everybody. He is not bad to look at, and he is especially helped out by the makeup artist and stylist in the music video. So go check it out.
You know, the closest comparison I might make is Taemin, Press Your Number.
Oh, yeah, Press Your Number. I could see that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, especially when it like picks up in energy and more instruments come in. Yeah.
It was really...
Yeah, thank you.
This, when what was it? Oh, when Jungkook's album dropped and we talked about this type of song, this type of song really works with tenor voices. It's like, since I'm not a musician or as well-versed in music theory anymore, I can't tell you what it is, but like on these types of songs, a tenor voice works on that funk bass line like none other. And that's kind of why it's been working for almost 50 years.
Yep.
The visual, he was nice to look at, but at the same time, in terms of the video, I kind of feel like the dark gothic allegorical theming is kind of overdone in K-pop at this point.
It definitely is. Yeah, I noticed I did not say the concept was a strength here or the storyline. It was whatever. But his
I'm
face.
I'm not complaining. I like it though.
Yeah, the song itself.
Even if you. No.
Yeah, I thought it had some similarities to your hit replay last week, Joe.
Yeah, it did.
The From 20. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So that style is here to stay for a while.
And I don't...
I ain't mad at it.
If you serve it up like From 20, I don't mind having that repeated again and again and again and again. Sorry. Yep.
Again and again. So all in all, I thought this was a strong debut performance. Looking forward to what's next. Next up here on the show is you, Joe.
Alrighty, thank you.
What's your hit replay?
Last episode I introduced y'all to one half of Way Better. That makes my heart go into overdrive From 20. This week I'm reintroducing you all to the equally handsome other half, the daring and adventurous Hello Gloom with Mama Sita. Come back to your life. Nottingjay was originally a member of the group M-Fact or I'm-Fact under Star Empire Entertainment. He also competed on the ill-fated Survival series, The Unit, where he met his future business and creative partner, Raewon, later becoming From 20. They started Way Better, originally as The Faker Club in 2022. Under this independent label, he takes the lead as songwriter and producer, and he's actually the composer and songwriter for From 20's theme in that I discussed last episode. The reason why it's my hit replay, while his earlier releases as a solo artist were more in the emo rap category, Mamacita is a continuation of his journey into dance music and his equally bold visual journey into queer club culture. With this release, we now have a trilogy. We had Dancing in the Dark, which was the first dance track that he did, and that focus was on drag performance. Then we had Eyes on Me in the Summer, which I kind of thought was a Call Me By Your Name take on Money Boy or Rent Boy. Queer prostitution in a more blunt term. And then Mamacita, I believe, is referencing the Circuit Party or Go-Go Boys and the Circuit Party and the Afters. It's also the most homoerotic video he's done. The video kind of starts off in the dark room of a nightclub, and it's mostly men, not a lot of women. I don't think I recall seeing a lot of women. And then the video ends at them at an apartment half dressed. So yeah, make of that what you will. And then the other reason why it's my hit replay is that you would think that his husky voice wouldn't work for dance or club music, but it's very hypnotizing almost. So yeah, that's my hit replay, just as impactful as From 20s. What did you guys think?
I like the samba beat inspiration. Like, it's like you took samba music over here and then you mixed it over with like gay dance music over there and you like pushed it together and you get this. So like it's something that I would certainly play for my Gaysian crowd. I like the pink cowboy hat he's got too at the end. It's giving me the what is it, pink Lamborghini from Twice vibes. But like, yeah, I really like this song. It's a really good song.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was really catchy. I found myself dancing to it. I would love to have this come on in the club. Mm-hmm. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, Peter. Let's do this.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the trick is like for these like up and coming songs.
Yeah.
Like you can't play them like, you know, in the prime hour slot. Mm-hmm. So it's like you have to play it at the beginning or at the end. More likely the beginning.
Yeah.
And I would say I'd probably play this song like right at the start of 10 o'clock because mm-hmm. of like its energy and vibe.
Yeah, that's usually when I'm there. I'm okay, on there time. I'm trying to go home early. I'm there early. So.
Okay. So yeah. You play it right then. And then hopefully, you know, more people get into it after you do it across a few gigs. So.
Mm. I love that we're getting into the psychology of the DJ field.
Yeah. And I think
The sociology, yeah.
And I think this would really work at a circuit party. I'm not sure if there are any K-pop themed circuit parties right now.
Wait, what is a circuit party?
So in gay nightclub culture, circuit parties are basically like raves, but it's specifically mm-hmm. catering to a gay clientele. So there are these huge dance bashes that go all night. Usually everybody is half dressed. A lot of muscular go-go boys dancing up around the DJ. And they tend to be these huge events around the world. I could see this song really working there just from the beat of the song.
Yeah.
Also, mm-hmm. if you want to experience this in person, Way Better is touring Europe next month. Unfortunately, it seems like the London and Amsterdam dates are canceled. But I believe Paris, Cologne, and Warsaw, they're stopping in your cities. So yeah, both From 20 and Hello Gloom. But yeah, this is a really it's a very in-your-face nod to queer culture versus the dancing around it that we kind of get with K-pop. So I think that that's the major reason why it's my hit replay.
And I feel like what's also interesting is that it doesn't need to, like, call that out explicitly. Like, you get it. Like, if you know, you know. Yeah. But, like, you know, it doesn't hide it either.
Like, yeah. When they opened up in a darkened space where he's looking around at other men and other men are looking at him, I was like, okay, I get what's going on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it strikes that balance between being in your face and not overdoing it to be salacious. Mm-hmm. At for the hetero gaze.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, ooh, the forbidden touch of the same sex. Oh my gosh.
Right.
I'm not supposed to be doing, like, that's what we, that's what we're used to seeing. Like, oh my gosh, the sin of it all. But this is just like, yeah, this is my weekend. Mm-hmm. Like, this yeah, is, this right. is where I'm at. You know, this is me and my boys. And like, hey, here's what happened.
Yep. That's a party song.
We went to Public and then we went to Eagle afterwards and it was a thing.
Yeah. It was a thing. Uh-huh. Great choice. I don't think I would have found it without you. So I'm sure I'm not the only person.
I should have known it was coming, because they usually drop, like, when From 20 drops a week or 2 weeks later, Hello Gloom will drop. And so I should have known.
That's so cute.
Right. All right. All right. Peter, what's up?
What you got?
Okay, you guys were like way too serious with your hit replay, so I'm going to change it up by bringing us into the wonderful treasure find category of K-pop. So I'm referring to Young Posse in their song.
Of course.
XXL or Double Extra Large, or I don't know how you pronounce it, but XXL. I'm about to do it XXL. So if you didn't already know, Young Posse is a South Korean girl group under DSP Media. Remember that name? DSP?
Oh, yeah.
And co-produced by Beats Entertainment, an independent record label. They made their debut last year in October 18th, 2023 with the song Macaroni Cheese, which Michaela and, what, Stephanie, you talked about it too, I want to say? Or did we? No, okay. Well, Michaela was, I don't know. We were talking about it at some point.
I guess. I was on there. No, yeah. No, were we talking about like Ho Anthem for the last year?
Yeah, but I think we were also talking about Macaroni and Cheese in the context of, oh, does that mean something sexual? And mm-hmm. is it right to have these young women?
Oh, yeah. Minor sexualization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, Macaroni and Cheese, I don't know, it's coming around, by the way, in the dancer community. Like, cover dancers seem to like that song. And I'm not making a judgment call either way on its intended meaning of macaroni and cheese. But it is really silly and ridiculous. The music video, the concepts. And that silliness and ridiculousness continues with this song. Oh, and by the way, Young Posse, it's derived from the word posse, which is a Latin word meaning be able to. So together, what? Young Posse represents a young group of girls gathered together mm-hmm. with a purpose. Yeah, okay. Yeah.
No. Mm-hmm.
No. Right. That's it's funny. Like, there's like real life science and history, and then there's like K-pop science and history.
Mm-hmm. Revisionist.
Sound like bending over backwards to not get in trouble to me, but okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Right. Yeah, exactly. So I don't even know where to begin with this song, guys. It's a story. It's a journey. Like, I'll just say it. Like, this is my song of the year.
Wow.
Because it's ridiculous. And okay, how can I say this? So the music video opens with the girls pulling up to the drive-thru in their ridiculously oversized Hummer. And they find out they've run over a fork and they have a flat tire. And they speak to the you know, the fast food what do you call it, the thing where you speak to putting in your order, and they're speaking in Korean. The server, the guy at the other end, is like, "What? I don't understand that." And then he clicks on the closed caption button, like, you know, on YouTube, there's like the closed caption button. He clicks on that on his screen, and then they say it again. He's like, "Oh, let's hear it one more time," and then they say it again, except in English. Because, mm-hmm. you know, that's how the world works. And I think that, I don't know. I don't know what to say. Like, you just have to watch it for yourself. Because Young Posse, Extra Extra Large, is not something that can be told or expressed in words. You just have to see it for yourself. Because it is so ridiculous. I think a couple other call-outs. They play the song Come Back Home. So the beat, you know, the OG, like the original K-pop song that defined K-pop, Come Back Home by Seotaiji and the Boys. You had that same loop sample on repeat in this song, which I think works really well. And everything about it is just like really high end, like production value you'd get from 2024. But 2024 is imagining of what the year 2000 special effects would look like. So yeah, it's just ridiculous. It's really good. It's a good song. And every time I watch it, I find something new about it. It's good. That's my hit replay.
No, thanks for sharing this with us. It's clear that it sparks joy for you. And I admit the concept is innovative. It is entertaining. It's funny. And like they're having so much fun with it. And like, this is the era of the 90s coming back around audio wise. So they're just like in it. So yeah, I enjoyed it too.
Really? You just saying that, Stephanie?
It's not going in my playlist, but I enjoyed my one time watching it. Yeah.
No, but see, you discover more stuff the more you watch it, Stephanie.
Okay, maybe I'll watch one more time.
I'm just going to rely on the old black proverb. If you like it, I love it for you.
I love this for you.
Okay, fine. No. I'll enjoy it. Don't neck me up.
No, of course not. Yeah.
All right, let's move on. So let's talk about the top songs covered by K-pop dance crews this week. So going to kpopdances.com, the top 10 songs are... Coming in at number 10, we've got Twice, One Spark. Number 9, Vivi's Maniac. Number 8, TWS Plot Twist, still up there. Number 7, Le Sserafim Perfect Night. Number 6, Baby Monster Batter Up, still on the list. Number 5, Aespa Drama, still on the list. Number 4, ITZY's Untouchable. Number 3, Yoja Idol, Super Lady. And Stephanie, I know it. I know you know what the top two are.
Well, yeah. If it's the same as last week, it's Easy and Smata.
In which order?
Easy first.
Easy number one, Smart number two. Yep, you're right. So there's more movement on the lower parts of the chart. But yeah, Easy, the Seraphim's just taken over by a lot. Like there's 115 new covers of Easy. Whereas, whoa, like in third place for G Idol's Super Lady, there's only 31.
Mm.
So,
Le Sserafim domination.
All right. Moving on to Hot Issue, How You Think. So, Stephanie.
All right.
What's the thing you want to talk about? Share, gush.
Yeah.
Discuss with us all.
I don't know if I want to gush about it. I don't even know if I'm even going to be watching. But it came across my feed that Island Season 2 is upon us. It will be broadcasting soon. And for those of you who didn't watch Island Season 1, that was a survival show that was putting together the ultimate HYBE boy group that we now know as ENHYPEN. And Island was, it was huge budget, hugely popular. And I was riveted. I couldn't stop watching. But it was really stressful and triggering to watch. in many ways. So I think, Peter, you watched it too. I don't know if
no,
Joe, you watched it.
No, mm-hmm.
you never did. Okay.
Nope.
Well, we're chatting in the Slack about, no, it's all good. About the ways in which these children were treated on the show. And it's, you know, to sum it up, I'll say that it's kind of an uncanny, painful, in your face, reminder of the cutthroat, ruthless, competitive, abusive world, within K-pop. Like what trainees have to go through in terms of being humiliated, insulted by people who are supposed to be their coaches and mentors, who like do not give constructive criticism at all, just berate them and belittle them. They're cut off from their family. You know, they only get one phone call with their mom in like the whole few months that they're there. They have to practice. They're encouraged to push through injuries and not sleep and just practice all night. And those moments are shown in the show as, oh, so inspiring. He worked so hard and now look, now he's successful. And like, I'm watching it like, this is terrible, but you can see that the show is framing it as like, they're so proud of it. They're like, yeah, this is what makes an idol.
Because they're so hardworking. Mm-hmm.
They're so hardworking. They push themselves. This one has a sprained ankle, but you know what? He got back out there. I'm like, no.
Yeah. It kind of reminds me of...
So,
oh, sorry.
I don't know. Uh-huh. No, I was just going to say, so looking ahead to Island 2 with the girls, now there's going to be the gendered element just added on with mostly male coaches. And I don't know if I'm up for it, y'all.
I thought about it. I actually thought about watching because my queen from the Produce series, Bae Yoon Jung, is going to be on.
Oh, yeah.
And I love her. But at the same time, I'm having the same reservations as you because I'm thinking of like that. Remember that interview that RM did where he was talking about how traumatic becoming an idol is? But then he also was like,
yes,
but that's our system. And like, I'll pull up on any of y'all that try to say something about how we get down.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't think I'll watch.
Yeah, it puts you in that familiar K-pop fan tension dilemma place, right?
Yeah.
Because like the performances are so good, but it's like, ooh, the blood that was spilled to get there.
Yeah. And on top of that, y'all like
there must be another way.
Y'all like baiting us with some of these edits. Like, I still want to know who Somi was trying to fight on IOI. Like, y'all teased us with that fight, and I thought it was going to get good, and y'all left us hanging.
Mm-hmm. It's never as good as the edits and the teasers. Yeah, and I was watching some of the clips. I don't know if y'all like clicked through what I put in here, the Island 2 teasers.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. There's some performances here. Performance video one is heel dance. Performance video two is whacking.
Can we
quote unquote?
Could we call it heel dance? Because those seem like kitten heels to me. that they were dancing in.
It's like just.
I don't know. Some of them are tall heels. I mean, I'm looking at some of them. They're definitely very tall.
I don't
think
I could do that dance that they did.
Yeah.
It's not your average. And there was something missing for me. Maybe it's, I don't know. It didn't impress me. It didn't move me seeing these performance clips, and definitely not the first video where you're just seeing all of the girls go by like they're on a conveyor belt and they're looking up at you with doe eyes and they're blending together with a white background.
Do you think the magic of the survival series in K-pop is finally wearing off on you?
I hope so.
Hey, I mean, that's your time back.
Yeah, well, I did just start watching Origin, the show Yang Donghua was on.
Oh, okay.
Just so I can see more of him. But we'll see how long I last with that.
I think what's been lost here is that these teaser performance videos that you shared with us here, Stephanie, is that we're seeing trainees, you know?
Yeah.
And the whole point of these, like, what do you call it? Reality Survivor contestant shows is that you kind of see them get better over the course of the show. And,
that's,
you know,
true.
There's the competitive aspect of it between the performers, and it's more the scandal and the growth that you want to see, and not so much like, okay, they perform about as well as any other cover group out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I wonder if it was, I mean, if this is the smartest choice for them to like draw up buzz for the show, is to be like, look, here's where the trainees are at their current level. There you go.
No, they should have done it more like Singles Inferno or...
Yeah, more of the personality behind the scenes, getting to know the characters.
Or like Top Chef or, you know, one of these like Western reality, like...
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yep. Taeyang and Teddy are at the helm of this one. It's going to be the Black Label recruiting for a girl group. So we'll get to...
Oh, so wait. So Island, so the trainers, the coaches, mm-hmm. does that come from the label? Or
yeah.
does that... Okay. So maybe Mostly. We'll see a different style from...
Maybe,
however
yeah.
the Black Label does it, which I'm sure...
I'm interested. I'm curious, like what goes on behind the scenes there. Maybe Lisa or, well, I guess Lisa is doing
Lisa
her own thing.
Saying,
Lisa,
like,
but Lisa can get the girls together. What was that show she went on? The Chinese? It was like the Chinese girl group version mm-hmm. of Produce 101. Lisa.
Yeah.
Y'all remember Debbie Allen and Fame? That was
yep,
Lisa.
Yep.
That was Lisa.
Lisa got them together.
Got them all the way.
Yeah, she became a high expectations tiger mom.
Dance master.
The tiger mom, you know.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly. I'd be down to see that. All right. Well, the jury's still out whether we'll be watching Island 2 on Mnet. Joe, what's your how you think?
All right. So last week, Major League Baseball had their preseason international series. And this year was the first year that they went to Seoul. So it was the LA Dodgers versus the San Diego Padres. They split the series. Dodgers took game 1, 5-2. Padres won game 2, 15-11. The San Diego Padres, Korean line, got a hero's welcome at home. Unfortunately, Star Ha-Sung Kim went hitless in front of the home crowd. Legendary pitcher Chan-ho Park, a former Dodgers and Padres pitcher, threw out the first pitch of the game. Aespa and G-Idol performed at the pregame concerts. The Lena Park and Baekhyun of EXO sang both the South Korean and American national anthems, a cappella, mind you.
Mm.
And unfortunately, in spite of all the big good feelings that was going on in Seoul with the interaction with both teams and the Korean audience, this was overshadowed when a expose was released by the LA Times and ESPN, a bombshell report of a betting scandal involving Major League superstar Shohei Ohtani and his former personal interpreter and friend Ipe Mizuhara, who it is believed, Shohei Ohtani now says, stole about $4.5 million to pay off his gambling debts to an illegal bookie in Southern California.
What?
Yep.
Oh, no.
When the story dropped, both of my Major League sources, my brother, who covers Major League Baseball for Yahoo Sports, and friend of the show, Emily Heidel, both hit me up and said, hey, yo, something's going on with your boy, and it's bad. So as I read on, the initial report was that Shohei Ohtani was paying off his friend's gambling debts because his name was showing up in payments of $500,000. Earlier this afternoon at Dodger Stadium, Shohei Ohtani made a statement saying that that is absolutely a lie, saying that his friend had access to his bank account and made the payments himself, but they were done in his name to make it look like he was helping a friend out. So I'll post a little bit more of a digest from the other things that went on because it was a lot with the Seoul series. So I'll post a digest in the Slack of things, but that was the major, unfortunately, the major story
So sad. It's not looking good.
Like I told y'all with DPR, leave people's money alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And now the feds are involved. So it's going to be a rough season.
Ouch. The feds are spread thin, you know, going after Diddy and now this.
Right. But somehow they always work when it comes to money.
Right. Follow the money. All right. Yeah. Thanks for reminding me to go watch those national anthem clips of Baekhyun and Lena Park. I saw those thumbnails, those videos come across, but I didn't watch it. I'm sure they're excellent.
I thought she started too high on the American one. And then she said, then she did something that reminded me. Oh, yeah, that's Lena Park. We're good.
Oh, yeah. She's fine. She's at home up in the clouds.
Mm-hmm. All right, Peter, what is your how you thing?
I keep hearing people say the word Gen 5. And I hear a lot of people saying that we're not in Gen 5. So are we in Gen 5, you guys? or not?
What is the criteria for a generational shift?
Well, I'm not sure. I don't think there's consensus on that either.
If I remember correctly, I think in the Slack, either Tamar or Teresa said that we qualify a generational shift with not only like military enlistments, but also like a change in technology.
Ooh.
So my thinking was like the introduction of virtual K-pop stars and the use of AI technology in like music videos, plus the fourth gen, third gen military enlistments, that maybe that was the sign that we were in the fifth gen. But a lot of people in our Slack said, nah, this ain't it yet. We're still in the fourth gen. So I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I asked the Google what it thought, and it said that there is not an official classification system. So dates and criteria can vary between sources. But how I've sort of interpreted it is if you look at the what was it, Sotaji and the Boys and the Big Three in Gen 1, and then who are the boy groups that followed right after that first quote-unquote generation of idols that debuted in that, early set of years. And so I think a lot of people say, like, you know, 1990s to 2000s, that's Gen 1. Gen 2, 2000s to early 2010s is Gen 2, Gen 3. Like, okay, so, like, how would
it seems like they're getting shorter generations, yeah. Right?
And is that because the groups are around less long or they're starting new groups faster?
You know, I think that, yeah. Mm-hmm. I think we have talked about that trend on the show, that the labels are churning out new groups faster than the current one had time enough to shine. Right? Like, that seems to be something we're noticing. It's like every, like, within 1 year, a label might debut two groups.
Yeah.
Or more. Yeah.
But,
like, the strategy seems to be that they're going after different, sub audiences.
Yeah.
But, like, the way I would look at it, even though ITZY came after Twice, like, if Twice is Gen 3, I would say ITZY is Gen 4 as well as NMIX. And,
mm-hmm. ITZY, same gen as NMIX?
Yeah.
And then who else? Okay. Who else? The Japanese group. But
XG?
No.
Oh, YG. NiziU.
NiziU. Yeah. Like, I'll put them in Gen 4. And I think, like, the Gen 5 girl group would be, like, the clear successors of that generation of groups, if that makes sense. And, like, what makes this, like, a group a successor group to another? I don't know. But that's how I'd look at it. So,
just conceptually, they don't seem to be in competition or to be like influenced by each other.
Yeah, I think maybe what you first said, like conceptually not in competition.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I don't know. Maybe you could say that about the.
I don't see Twice and ITZY as being in competition or as peers, though. Maybe they're just, they're technically
like very clear sun base, right? Like twice as yeah. very clear sun base.
That's what it seems like.
Whereas like, you know, that would be your peers and mix Itzy. Itzy.
I guess. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I guess Itzy would be the, like the upper bound age wise for Gen 4.
Right. So
yeah,
in favor of Gen 5, we've got Zero Base One and Boys Next Door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's how they were marketed, right? Like, that was a very deliberate marketing effort. And I'm not going to deny that. That was the intention and motivation. But
who are some
in Gen 5?
Who are some Gen 4 boy groups?
And Hypen.
Is Stray Kids 3?
Yeah, definitely yeah. 3. Okay. Yeah. Mm. No, 4. Oh, well, 4. No. 4. Stray Kids is Gen 4.
Okay, so Stray Kids and NCT.
Old Gen 4.
Are old.
NCT.
Ooh, wait.
Old Gen 4.
Yeah, I would say Gen 4.
Yeah, right. All right, yeah, that's helpful.
Oh, ATs, I guess, because they came later. That's a clearer.
ATs, yeah, that's a pretty clear Gen 4 to me. Same thing with P1 Harmony. Mm-hmm.
The boys.
17. Oh my God. They're Gen 3.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, 17 is Gen
3. Borderline Gen 2, but like, yeah, Gen
17?
3.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
17?
Been around 17 the longest time.
17 are old men, if we're going to be honest.
Dang.
Monse was like 2013?
Yeah, they'd be Gen 3.
Oh,
definitely
yeah.
Gen 3.
That's right. Okay. Like BTS. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
So,
yeah, this is a much needed discussion. Thank you for bringing it up.
Yep.
Okay, but what do you think, Stephanie? Are you pro like Gen 5 or are we still in Gen 4?
I don't know if I've seen enough of a clean break, especially in the girl group arena, to designate a new generation.
Well, I think your show is gonna debut a new Gen 5 girl group.
My show.
Didn't we say this with?
Yeah, but like.
Didn't we kind of have this conversation with Baby Monster too? Like we said, Baby Monster was going to be like the start of the fifth gen. And then a lot of people said, nah, they're a fourth gen girl group. So I'm like, okay, what if we're going to keep moving the goalposts, then what are we going to go by?
Yeah. They feel like they're on Gen 5 territory. Baby
Why?
Monster. Because they've got clear forerunners ahead of them. With YG labels and groups, like I think they pretty clearly come after XG, for example, and I don't think they're as much the peers of XG.
Yeah, but they're peers of like NMIX and Kepler and
they're juniors. No, Baby Monster is the juniors of all those groups.
But like conceptually and stylistically, their stuff sounds like that. No?
But I think stylistically, conceptually, you can have that across generations. If we're going by the DJ Peter Lowe definition, you can have the themes and music and style repeat across generations.
Like, what's the point?
Well, the point is to show like the growth between the companies behind them, the groups themselves, and showing the maturity of the different groups, I think. I think when you talk about K-pop generations, where is that demarcation relevant? I think it's relevant in situations where you're talking about what era you got into K-pop and what was... Okay, here we go again. I guess this is to your point. Like, what was popular in that time? And then marking that by years as well. Mm. So, like, Gen 3, I think, is pretty strongly, like, you know, 2013 through, like, 2019-ish. Like, I think everything in that era definitely being strongly Gen 3. Maybe 2018 even. And then like Gen 4 is like, okay, everything like pandemic era.
Pandemic era.
Or 2019, like late 2019, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So using the stylistic definition, do you think your group that you nominated for the hit replay, are they, is Young Posse,
are they Gen 5? Yeah, Posse. I would say they're Gen 5. Yeah, yeah, definitely
really?
Gen 5. Yeah.
Well, I'll say that then. Using the sound that they use, in that case, then Rise is Gen 5 because they also debuted with that classic West Coast hip-hop sound.
But and by the way, Rise was marketed as being firmly Gen 5.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
The label did that on purpose, yeah.
Okay.
So,
I see it. I guess I see it more clearly in the boy groups than in the girl groups right now. But
because girl groups are all just commoditized egg yo.
Yeah. There's like this formula. You have to debut this with the same concept. Boring. Anyways,
unless
that's another discussion. Yeah, Young Posse.
Or XG.
Yeah. Who knew? That's what we need in K-pop today.
Yeah. Wait.
Breaking the mold.
Wait. So are you Gen 4, Gen 5? Stephanie, give me an answer. What do you think?
I guess we are opening Gen 5 right now.
You're opening? Okay. We have it. Okay. Stephanie says we're opening Gen 5.
Why do I have to say it?
No. Yeah, that's going to haunt you later. Okay. How about you, Joe? What do you think? What do you think? Are we Gen 4, Gen 5?
I mean, I kind of already thought we were there with all of the military enlistments, so... between the early Gen 4 and late Gen 3 groups. So maybe we're still in the early stages of Gen 4 or the closing stages of Gen 4, early stages of Gen 5. Like it's blurry right now.
So it's like, you know, it's like the year is 2012 in Gen 2 or the year is 2019 in Gen 3, mm-hmm. basically,
yeah.
where you're starting to see... like the end of within the same year, like the last of the Gen 3 or the last of the Gen 4 groups debut and the beginning of the Gen 5 groups debut.
I think what's
like within the same year.
I think what Stephanie said is right. Like the fact that Gen 4 started in 2019 and now it's over. Like these gens aren't lasting as long, and that's what's throwing everybody off.
Yeah, but who says the generations have to be equal time durations?
I mean, yeah. Because, like, for the guys, it was my signifier was military enlistment. For the girls, it was the 7-year curse. That used to be my marker.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. By the way, I did an informal poll on this on Threads. I asked the Threadsverse, what would you call it? The people on Threads. And I just asked, hey, are we in Gen 5 K-pop? And my non-statistically significant poll said no. People say we're not in Gen 5 K-pop. So that's the popular sentiment right now. But
I should have.
I'm willing to go against the grain and say that we are in Gen 5 K-pop right now. I'll take the flack for it.
All that you made me and Stephanie jump in front of the gun. Ain't that something?
Wow, first before well, you well, yeah this sorry, was calculated
I could go first. I don't mind going first. I'm just trying to like get you guys to make a commitment, you know, one way or the other, so
mm-hmm. I feel used.
Okay, whatever, let's move on. All right, so let's go on to our daebak or not section. So we'll say the thing and then you can say whether you're daebak or not on that thing and however you choose to interpret it. So yeah, I really emphasize that point. You can interpret something a different way. You can say how you interpret it. All right. So are you guys Tebok or not on Purple Kisses BBB?
Yes, Tebok.
Oh, you want me to go next?
Yes. I'm not taking it risks anymore.
Once bitten, twice shy.
I don't know. It's got good production value. The song
that's
is
not a daebak.
No,
the song isn't bad. I think it's daebak, but it's not popular. Purple Kiss just has not hit a homer yet. I can go an entire K-pop DJ night and not play play none of their songs.
Ouch!
Because no one cares about them.
That's what irritates me, because people go on and on and on about how there's no strong vocal performers in the fourth gen, and Purple Kiss is that group.
And yeah, they're right there.
They're right there, and y'all don't pay them any attention. and I'm mad about it. So like,
what's really funny is that I could get behind them if they were more popular. If that makes sense.
Oh man, you know, okay, that's how everybody's feeling.
In that case, you are not a true K-pop fan, because a true K-pop fan rides no matter how small the fandom is.
Well, you I feel that pride. Way about Young Posse right now. Like, that's Young Posse is unpopular, and people are very like, "What the hell am I watching or listening to with this?" But no, like I think like if people are doing the solo dances, I would, you know, doing the dance covers and stuff to their stuff more, requesting it more in the club, I would feel it more, to be sure, right? Because you live it vicariously through everyone else. But with this, like, yeah, because that hasn't happened, I just can't get as into it, I guess. I don't know.
It ain't the answer I want. Daybok on the song.
Daybok on the song. Okay, Stephanie, your turn.
It is slightly Daybok for me.
So Daybok?
I'm almost at a knot, yeah. But it's, yeah, Daybok, sure. Because of the production value, I'm not going to add it to my library, but there's some work put in there.
Yeah, it was well executed.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, are you Daybok or not on NCT's sexual illusion song Smoothie?
I'm already shaking my head. Big nod.
What?
I can't. I'm done. Sticker, hot sauce, like no more AI generated English words with just mumbo jumbo.
No effort
musically, no effort lyrically. Stephanie, like, I'm embarrassed.
But this falls in the precedent, in the tradition of SM Entertainment.
We need new SM traditions. We need a revolution.
They've been doing this, like, with Ice Cream. What else did they do? Like, look at all the FX songs. They had very like WTF like lyrics and concepts. Girls' Generation
song. That was
then.
This is now. I can't abide by it anymore. I loved Fantastic Elastic, and I think part of that was, I don't think they knew better back then, but now they do.
It's too many.
Now it's just like they're playing in our face.
It's too many English speakers in that group. It's too many.
Mark.
It's too many. Mark.
You know that,
Northbrook's Finest. Come on, man. Johnny, Sue.
It feels like, what am I trying to say? Disingenuous at this point. It's not sincere. I need sincere English mess ups, not this stuff.
Whereas this is just like very random on purpose.
Yeah.
This, I said,
low effort.
I said I liked it in the group.
No respect.
I said I liked it in the Slack. The thing that I liked was the second verse and the bridge. Because stack vocals will get me in every time. But I also said, this song is way too sexy to be an NCT Dream song. Like, NCT Dream's concept is very boyish, light, cutesy. This is like a off-brand NCTU track. But since y'all wasted everybody's time with Baggy Jeans, y'all gave Smoothie to NCT Dream. And like, I'm still mad about Baggy Jeans, because that was the seventh sense
baggy,
unit.
Baggy, 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 baggy.
That was the seventh sense unit, okay. And that's what y'all gave me. So,
Joe, can I ask you something? How old was the primary demographic? Like, if we were to stereotype, like a hetero, like straight girl being a fan of NCT Dream, how old would she be when they debuted in 2016?
If that's the case, then like I guess she'd be in her, at the youngest, late teens, mid 20s at the oldest, I guess.
Wait, for liking it in 2016? No, like I think I feel like when like their demographic in 2016, I want to say is like
NCT, the group
early
overall.
To mid-teen?
Like 10, 11 year olds, right?
Yeah.
Mm.
So if you're starting with that, right? Like those 10, 11 year olds liking NCT Dream in 2016, those 10, 11 year olds today are like what, 18, 19?
Yep.
And so like if you're growing with your fan base maybe this is what an 18-19-year-old girl that SM thinks would like.
No, because y'all
sad
gave
sad but true.
Because y'all gave me IST. What was the ISTJ? And that it was still more.
Yeah,
that was. I think that and Broken Melodies were more true to the NCT Dream formula. They were more mature, but they still had the youthful, refreshing quality. It wasn't as heavy as NCT 127 or NCT U projects. Mm. And this just...
Or Candy, right? Candy
yeah,
as well.
Or Candy. Although Candy was a cover, so I don't really count it. But this seems like a rare miss for me outside of the bridge and the second verse. Because, like, if you put a stack vocal, you'll have me. But at the same time, the rest of the song, I tuned out. So.
All right. So you're both not on this song?
Yes.
You guys are just haters, man. I love this song.
Loved it.
Oh, yeah. This song is fantastic, elastic, baby. Like, it is high, like, execution and commitment to the like nonsensical stuff. And like, you know, it's like, okay, you know, Stephanie, you were saying like, okay, it was forgivable in Gen 2 because like they really didn't know the proper English lyrics and whatnot. But I just like the commitment to that.
To the bit?
Yeah. And I don't think
so you
mean
admit
it ironically. No, I think there's like you look at these lyrics here. There's a lot of you can read a lot of sexual implications from this. I think even if you look at in a few of the sets here, they show like what would you call it? Like a cross section of like a fruit, and even that looks like genitals or something like
You know, it was like, aside from the video not really making sense, that was, I kind of felt uncomfortable.
Yeah.
And that's weird because, like, I actually just jumped on, I literally just jumped on the NCT Dream bandwagon with ISTJ, and I might hop back off because of Smoothie.
You hopped back and you're like, I'm good, I'm a hit up.
Yeah, like, let me off here. I'm going to have my mama come
get
me.
Yeah, you took one stop. Yeah.
I'm gonna just chill with NCTU.
I can't get with this.
And 127 every now and then.
Exactly.
So wait, would you like this if this is a
no? Not in a plane, not in a car, not in a train.
I do not like it over here. I do not like it over there. I do not like it in the air. I do not like it on the ground. I do not like it anywhere. 127 or Mark I am.
Okay. All right. Or Jopping Super M. I think it might be even better if Super M.
Oh, in that case, I'm slamming the door on it. I hated Jopping with a passion. I'm so glad that Super M is never coming back.
Oh,
I get people cheering for that song in the club. I kind of play it reluctantly along with Psy's Gangnam Style, but like people really get down to it.
No more.
No more.
Make it stop.
Please.
Okay.
All right. Are you going to debunk or not? On G Idol's Yuki making her solo debut in April.
Daebak.
I don't know what to say about it. Yeah.
I like her husky
voice.
Yeah,
Daebak. Me too.
Yeah, I like it as well.
If it's jazzy,
yeah,
that would make
her
it.
On her own.
She's a cutie.
Yeah.
You're saying if it's jazzy, what?
If it's jazzy, I would love it because, like, you know, I don't want to put too much on her vocal ability, but like husky women's voices or husky voices and jazz tend to go very well. Like, who's Flower? I think Flower would have worked really well on Yuchi's voice.
Mm-hmm. Flower by Jisoo?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that.
Oh, yeah, I agree. Oh, we need an AI generated version of that. Is there not one of that already? yeah. Okay. Can I ask you guys this? What's the most important quality to have as a K-pop idol? Like, if you want to be successful, what's the most important quality to have? And I know this is like has been debated, right, by like label CEOs and whatnot. But like, I think, you know, pro singing is like we're in the business of entertaining and making music, and
It's clearly not a requirement.
I mean, it's not.
It's not a requirement. But if you want to get ahead of everyone else, singing well seems to make a difference, I think.
I mean,
and
I hate to be in the agreement with JYP, but he...
Oh, yeah, I'm remembering that clip, yeah.
It was a conference or something, and he said, look, I've studied the great performers of the past, and like the thing that kept all of them going was having a great vocal acumen. So like I will say K-pop, the way K-pop works, you don't really need it, but it does help. Like you could do the Cha Eunwoo and just go into acting and modeling primarily and not have to worry about having a strong voice, because a good face card in K-pop or in Asian entertainment will take you very far.
Right.
But you have your Baekhyuns and your Lena Parks, where if you got that voice on you, like your Taehyuns, Doyoungs, your Jaehyuns, we might not see it now, but I'm like the vocalists of the third and fourth gen, if they stick to it, I'm really looking forward to what they could put out in the future.
Yeah, right. Like there's a floorboard for like what's required as an idol, but like to get to like, you know, superstardom status, you have to be like an impeccable singer or have a unique voice or something.
True.
What? Really?
Is like you can make it without it.
Wait, who would you put in that like superstar category that's not a good singer, Stephanie?
Kai.
Kai's not a superstar though.
Taemin's not a good singer.
Oh my god. Let's be serious. You were just talking about like Baekhyun, and then there's a level below that. You said that like in order to be a superstar, you have to be able to sing like that. You know what I mean?
Okay, I'll concede that. So Kai and Taemin, I guess, fit into the Michael Jackson mold, because Michael was also not the
strongest. They're all about the dancing.
They weren't the strongest singer. So yeah, okay.
Sure.
Yeah, you got Michael Jackson and Sierra. Yep, okay.
I'm
back off of what I just said.
Yeah,
sorry.
You're good. Fair. No, it's all good. Like, let's just be like really specific and serious. Like, I'm not saying I disagree that, especially like longevity speaking, that voice will carry you far in a way that like dancing skill, I don't know how long everybody can keep that up. And like all the new styles coming in, like you have to keep up with that. Like that's rough as an idol on your body.
Although
singing, you can continue to improve and get better.
To further weaken my point, Jennifer Lopez, she's done vocal lessons and her voice has gotten better, but she's also kept up that dance skill. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
Okay, I recuse myself from this argument now.
No. All right.
Well, anyway. I think
what are we even talking
unique
about?
Voice.
We were talking about Yuki's solo and her
singing ability, and I think that's great because I want to see the whole premise of that discussion that I was trying to take us down was that because she can do something unique, this could propel her to like a new tier, mm-hmm. like above Soyeon even. All right. Are you guys J-Bok or not on Stray Kids headlining Lollapalooza and Ivan Beecha? They can also be at that same
J-Bok. That makes
festival.
That actually makes a lot of sense for Stray Kids, considering their sound. Even though Lollapalooza's gotten very eclectic over the years, they still try to do like a hard. There's like some kind of act that does like a hard, either a hard rap or a hard rock sound, and they do both. Ivan Beecha, however, I kind of feel about them the way I felt about New Jeans. Congratulations, but I'm not. I'm sorry, but like this is also going to be a headache for me because like the National Black Journalism Conference happens at the same time and it's across Michigan Avenue from Grant Park. So I just know it's going to be a headache. That's going to be a headache. So I'm like, do I want to go to Lala or do I want to go to the Black Journalism Conference? I don't know.
¿Por qué no los dos?
Networking, that's why.
Yeah.
Stray Kids is cool.
Yeah, which one is going to cost money? Which one is going to make
money? Make money. Ain't that it?
Yeah.
But why not do both those things? So that's what I meant by the expression.
I mean, no, that I got that, but it's
we know what that means.
Okay. Okay, sorry. All right. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm actually tape back on it. I think everyone is in the right spot on the lineup based off of their popularity and reception.
Yeah. Tebak.
Okay. Are you guys Tebak or not on Akmu finally giving us their fandom name 10 years after their debut?
At this point, you could just go with that one.
That's a Gen 3 group, I think, right? Akmu's pretty firmly Gen 3.
Yeah.
Aren't they? Who else did that this year recently? Somebody else in K-pop did that. I'm like,
in a fandom name. Oh, Hwasa?
Yes.
Yeah, Hwasa last episode. Yeah. Twits.
Okay. Twit. Yeah, I'm whatever. Not
because it took too long?
It's so late.
Like you're irrelevant now. You're probably going to retire anyway. Yeah. They had a lot of really good songs before.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe not irrelevant. Lovely did Numbers.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I'm a fan.
It just took too long.
We didn't need this.
I'm Tebak on whatever gives them a bump in news cycles and gets people talking
about
them.
That's a good point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Okay, I'm Tebak on their 10-year anniversary. Great Akmu. All right. Joe, are you Tebak or not?
Tebak because I like them.
Okay. Are you guys Tebak or not on XG? First World Tour. The first HAL.
Hell yeah, Tebak.
Yes. Unfortunately, I'm going to be so broke.
Okay. But in other words, if we could see them, we will, right?
Yes.
Yes. Let's go. Yeah.
All right. All right. So I'm Tebak on that as well. All right, moving on to the sensational stuff near all Korea Boo news section. So, are you Tebak or not on Ailee getting Maui'd? Ailee is getting married. She's confirmed to be in a relationship and she plans to get married next year.
Tebak,
that's so sweet. We love our girl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just hoping it's a good man that's not going to...
Let's not.
Embarrass her.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't.
Okay, well, Tebak on that. Are you Tebak or not on former DIA member, Somi, am I pronouncing that right? Sentenced to 1 year and 6 months in prison for making false allegations against her CEO.
Not.
Right. Yeah. how can anyone be pro Tebak on this? I'm certainly not. I think something a lot of people have been saying around this is like you look at convicted like sex offenders and like whatever the Korean equivalent of a felon is, like,
yeah,
they get the same sentencing. So, like, an allegation has the same level of punishment as,
yeah,
or not even punishment, like rehabilitation as an accusation. And I think, like, if you're looking at the damages of these things, like, one was a lot worse in like human impact on life and also took a lot more work to prove, I would say, than the other. Yeah, burning, if it wasn't clear, I'm saying the Burning Sun scandal was like the worst one and took a lot more work to research and make a case and convince like a jury to come around and everything. So yeah.
Yeah. Because of the nature of the society, an accusation, they take that very seriously because of reputation and, reputation is everything.
Yeah, the reputation being the product. Yeah.
So, like, I understand, but at the same time, that a year and 6 months in prison, I'm just going to say not because there's too many layers you could go into on that.
Maybe one final comment from me, I guess, is like I'm trying to avoid being a Westerner and just being judgmental of like, a different culture. that I'm struggling not to be judgmental of what I perceive of being like a very sexist system.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's just all of these axes of power over power abuse that are just running amok here in our society as well. And, and here, like the CEO of the company against one of the idols, man against woman, like,
Then executive the versus employee.
Just all of this. Yeah. Makes me very skeptical about, whatever ruling comes out, honestly.
Okay. Moving along. Are you day buck or not? I thought this was a really funny one. On Mion of G Idol reacting to a fan during a fan call who held up a sign that said, "Please don't date ugly men."
I mean, it's hilarious, but at the same time, there's really nothing you can do about that, unfortunately.
Oh, wow. The original video with this.
Oh, it got removed.
Like, was too, yeah, that's really funny. But I mean, if I could like verbally try to describe it, like during this fan call, you could see a fan holding up a sign with that written out and Mion just kind of laughing to this. Like what? Like, what are you asking me to do?
Like, so. I'm going to say Daebok because I appreciate the enthusiasm. But like in K-pop, in Western pop, and other forms of music, some of your faves, you just going to have to, if they like it, you love it. That, and that's all you got to just step back from and say that. I love this for you. And step back. That's all you can do. Speaking from as a...
You can't make a judgment based off of how hot their boyfriend, girlfriend, or spouse is. Like, I don't know.
Oh, right. So people really call Beyonce and Jay-Z the hottest looking couple in Hollywood. Okay. And as a Hive member, we make
that's a great example.
As a Hive member, we make that joke all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So speaking of making judgment for how attractive the spouse is, an attractive female celebrity is rumored to be dating the chiseled perfection of the male form. In other words, put another way, Korean media reports that twice as Jiho and gold medalist Olympian from season one of Physical 100, Yoon Sung Bin, are dating.
Ow!
I mean,
it's getting hot in here.
It's cute, and they would probably be great together. They would look great together.
But
as I said in the Slack, and Ashley agreed with me, I said, "Can Jihyo fight?"
Because you want him for yourself.
I'm not like look.
I mean,
I ain't saying. I'm just saying. We can go to war if you want it, sis.
I think she probably can fight.
See
You're
me
in
then.
For a scuffle.
See me then if you bad.
I don't know. Jiho's a beast. I mean, she works.
She can be
really
intense.
Hard. Yeah, like you know. Have you seen her dance? Like she does her dancing arguably as good or if not better than most of her bandmates, I would even say, because she puts in the effort. So, yeah. I'm just imagining this, like, two, like, perfect forms of, like, you know, attractive female body, chiseled man body mm-hmm. just coming together.
Yeah, like, who could this be about? Yeah, there's plenty of examples. I love this line that says, "The two live just a few minutes drive away, so they would have dates at each other's homes." How wholesome.
Mm-hmm.
No, it's just because, you know, they live close to each other. And they're just, you know, sitting there maybe watching a movie or...
But they're both like
dinner.
Incredibly attractive, you know, like they're both like really good looking human beings.
I know. Aren't you catching the sarcasm?
This is K-pop.
You know what
absolutely
thinking.
Nothing is
Sorry.
Going on, even though we haven't been dating out in public and we've been dating at the house. Okay.
Dating at the house? Yeah.
Dating at the house.
The ramyun and chill.
Okay, great.
Hey.
All right, so we're all Daybok on that last item.
Yeah.
I'm also Daybok on me and dating whoever she wants to date, even if it's someone who's not physically
and
societally beautifully looking.
I'm Daybok on, yeah, that too. I'm Daybok on JYP's official statement, which says JYP does not have an official comment because it's the artist's personal life.
Hey, they grown. Boom. They grown. Let them do grown folk business.
Yep, it's not our business.
But Jiho, she's dated people before, right?
Not that I know of.
Has she?
She's been rumored.
In 2019, Jiho confirmed that she was dating former 101 member and soloist Kang Daniel.
Oh, yes, Kang Daniel.
Okay,
I knew that. She's got a good track record.
Yeah. So I hope we come around to... I mean, we've clearly okay with letting idols be whole human beings
I feel like that's been the K-pop cast stance. Let these grown it folk has. Date each other. Let these hot grown folk date each other.
And bang specifically.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't gonna go that far, but okay.
But I don't know. For other regions, they have to tiptoe around it, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it for the K-pop cast. So let our listeners know where they can find you online or that thing you're promoting. So Joe, kick us off.
All right, so you can find me at Journalistic Joe on Instagram. And if you're in the Philadelphia area on Friday, April 26th, I will be at the Soundtype concert series at Asian Arts Initiative in Philly. The artist that will be featured is Che Chin. And then on Saturday, April 27th, from 4 to 5:30 p.m., Che Chin will be featured in a seminar with music critic and journalist Gita Dao in conversation. And we're going to be discussing concepts of appropriation, sonic colonization, anthropological fetishization, erasure
sonic
of origins.
Sonic colonization.
Right? We getting into it. So, like... If you want to hear that conversation, it's from 4 to 5:30 p.m. That's a pay what you can donation. Concert tickets are $20 per entry. And the concert starts on Friday, April 26th, again, at 8 o'clock p.m. in Philly. I'll post it on my Instagram.
All right.
What's your Instagram?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Journalistic Joe, Journalistic J-O-E, all one word.
Got it. Following.
All right, and I'm at DJ Peter Love. You can follow me for K-pop DJ gigs. April 20th, 420, we're going to have a K-pop high party based off of K-pop high school concepts, of course. And Stephanie, where can people follow you online?
You can follow me at catchlight27 on Instagram. And for those of you who don't know, I teach dance. So if you're in the Bay Area, there's something called Bay Area Dance Week coming up, and I'm teaching a free workshop. So you could look that up, find me there, take my class. I will put some K-pop in there just for you. And again, you can find all of us in the K-pop cast Slack. Link to that in the episode description.
So all right. Peter, y'all not getting lifted?
Oh, I'm definitely playing Lifted and Cocoa Bop. And actually, those are the names of the drinks that we're serving at that club that night. And there's one other one I'm forgetting. There's another K-pop song that has the green-themed vibes to it. I'm forgetting. Whatever. It's going to come to me later. Yeah. It'll be fun.
See you guys. Right.
Bye, guys. I'm